Welcome to the Risk Management Show. I am Boris Agranovich, founder and CEO at Global Risk Community. Welcome to our interview with Jennifer Geary. Jennifer has over 25 years of experience in finance, technology, risk, and legal across diverse industries from financial services to non-for-profit. Most recently, she was managing director EMEA for nCino. Prior to nCino, she was the chief risk and operating officer at Astor UK, a fintech backed by Santander. And she also spent 13 years in Barclays PLC, initially in investment banking, followed by wealth management, and finally as chief of staff of the group general counsel. She is an author of How to Be a Chief Operating Officer and How to Be Chief Risk Officer, published in September 22. And Jennifer, thank you for coming to our interview today.
Good morning, Boris. Nice to be with you. How are you?
Absolutely. I believe that we will have a very thoughtful conversation on what is risk management is all about, because you author of this book. We have mostly a lot of books on technical skills, but now it's kind of general book describing what risk management is all about. Maybe can you tell us firstly a short story about your career path, what brought you to where you are right now, and what made you decide to write this book?
Sure, thank you. As you've summarized my career really well, I started out in Dublin as an auditor. So I trained in financial auditing and also technology auditing in Dublin, and spent a couple of years also in New York with financial services companies. And then, as you said, I had a long career in Barclays, 13 years doing a range of roles there. I took a step sideways at that point to go to be COO of Save the Children UK, which is a £400 million NGO, and spent 2.5 years there before returning to fintech, where I've held a couple at this stage of COO and chief risk officer roles. And 5 years ago, I wrote my first business book on how to be a COO, chief operating officer, because I really felt that that was a gap in the market. There wasn't a book like that out there that somebody could go to. And as COO, I counted 16 different disciplines that COOs need to have, and wrote about those and had them validated by people. And I still felt in the risk space, there's a lot. We were talking, Boris, about the fact that there's an awful lot written and there's an awful lot of very weighty risk management books. But I still felt that there was a gap for something that was more accessible, more broad, more all-encompassing for aspiring risk managers and CROs. And what the book broadly does is it starts out to talk about really fundamental areas like the personality traits of a good CRO, the interplay of the CRO and the other C-suite roles. And then I talk about the connection between risk and strategy, culture, and execution. I see those as quite fundamental pillars for the C-suite role, before then going into a breakdown of the top 20 operational risks that organizations face.
And now we have a quick message to share. If you are listening to this podcast, it probably means you have a keen interest in risk and compliance. You're not alone, as GlobalRiskCommunity.com has already more than 100,000 active members. Together, we share knowledge, resources, and the latest events. On top of that, Global Risk Community is a great and easy way to network and broaden your opportunities. Visit GlobalRiskCommunity.com and sign up as a member. The link is in the description. Thank you for listening. Now back to the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I was risk manager myself, I used to study this six books about all technical analysis and stuff, about every specific topic. There are a book about 1,000 pages. And so... Yeah. Hasn't everything about risk been written already, or you combined in your book some insights from many kind of categories of risk?
Yeah. No, I really asked myself that question before I, you know, sat down to write this book. And I suppose maybe what differentiates this from some of the other books is it is born out of real life, real world expertise in the trenches, what I've seen along the way. And I've drawn on case studies, although, of course, the majority of my experience is in financial services. I've taken case studies from the gaming industry, case studies from the NHS, the National Health Service here in the UK, as well as not-for-profit, just to have, you know, as broad a remit as possible. And so I've tried to keep it general. It is not a 1,000-page deep dive. It is intended for people who are aspiring risk managers or maybe first time into a role as CRO. And we all know we don't come to those roles fully formed. We might have particular depth in operational risk or cyber or market risk or credit risk, but it's rare to have a really, really rounded view of all of those areas. So what this book allows you to do is either read the whole thing from beginning to end or drill into the areas where you feel a little bit weaker to just build confidence and knowledge in that space.
Mm-hmm. So maybe let's dive in a little bit to your book content. What has changed in recent times about the role of the CRO, and what risks have increased and which have gone away or changed?
Yeah, well, when I was writing this book, I was thinking back to what I wrote 5 years ago in the COO book. And there's a couple of areas I think that have changed hugely in that time. The first one I would say is facilities management and office and buildings management. If you, you know, 5 years ago, I was writing about 20 and 30 year leases and managing the kind of the risk around that. And of course, with sort of, we now really have premises as a service, don't we, through you know, facilitated offices and so on. And so that aspect of it has changed massively. And we've been able to outsource some of the things we used to have to worry about as risk managers in some cases. I would also say the people and culture side of things has changed massively as well. If you think now about the focus on mental health, if you think about culture, if you think about hybrid working, Me Too, Black Lives Matter, the focus on diversity, equality, I think that's really changed as well. Sustainability, I write a chapter on sustainability risk and not just about sort of, you know, do you recycle your waste and manage your energy? But actually, the very purpose of your organization, is that sustainable? Is that doing something that's going to, you know, continue to have relevance in the world? And then, of course, finally, technology. 5 years ago, I wrote, you know, that there was this thing called cloud and it was coming along and it was interesting. Of course, you know, what that has meant for organizations that have moved into the cloud is they've been able to outsource whole areas of risk management. We don't have to think about BCP and backups and, you know, tests in the same way as before from a technology standpoint. But that has also brought some other risks as well. So now we have to think about things like concentration risk. You know, if I've got everything with Azure or with Amazon, you know, how am I managing that? And of course, there's different cyber concerns now than there were 5 years ago. So those four areas, Boris, I would say, are the ones that have changed the most.
Mm-hmm. So if we drill down to technology, specifically in the area of technology risk, what do organizations need to be thinking about now, and how have technology, cyber and data risk evolved?
Yeah. So you know, I as I've said, there's, you know, this move to cloud and you know, whether you're obviously on-premise, there's a whole bunch of considerations and all the traditional areas of confidentiality, integrity, availability still stand. And there's some, you know, I talk through some of the really useful frameworks that there are out there, such as NIST for cybersecurity and ISO 27001 and so on. But then, yeah, I, you know, as CRO at Asto, we took a decision to go 100% in the cloud from day one. Absolutely paperless, everything in the cloud. I remember having to, you know, A, get comfortable with that myself, and B, justify that decision to my board and risk committee and to people back at the mothership at the bank. And it was a journey for me to understand the relative strengths and merits of it. But my CTO at the time did a great job of, you know, explaining to me how when you spin up a new instance, it's modern, it's patched, it's not like it's not you know, versus traditional technology, which will have a whole jumble of everything out there, which is only as strong as your weakest link and so on. So that was a great journey for me. And of course, when COVID came, we just all closed our laptops one day, went home, opened them up at home, versus I remember the banks sort of thinking about, well, how many VPN connections do we have and how are we going to share them out among people and so on. So, the world has changed. As I say, I think concentration risk is really important now, and thinking about the resilience of your technology and the resilience of your operations in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I would like to ask you a personal point of view. What is the commonly held belief or maybe misconception that relates to risk management space that you kind of strongly or even passionately disagree with?
Great question. So my book is written from the point of view of risk management as an enabler. I think we have all seen and come across bad risk management in our careers, right? You know, that sort of overly risk averse, pointing out all the things that could go wrong with something and just leaving it there and walking away. And you know, that when you have a poor dynamic with your, you know, your revenue line or your front office or whatever it is, and they're sort of thinking, oh, I've got to get this new product or this new venture past risk, and they're never going to agree to it and so on. And risk as this break on the organization. And somebody wrote about risk not being the brake, but being the clutch, right? And being the thing that enables an organization to, you know, you still have to put discipline, you still have to put friction, you still have to put governance and oversight in place, but you do it from the point of view of making the organization a success. You have to have your peers, your management team, the people around you believe that you are invested in the success of the organization, and you are only there to put some safe guardrails in place, which actually should allow the organization to move faster and with more certainty. So risk as an accelerator, risk as a clutch rather than risk as a brake. That's how that's my point of view.
All right. So there is so much to think about it, because maybe for some of them, some people can be overwhelmed. Where should the companies begin? So for example, if you take a life of a risk manager, if there is some one thing that they should start to prioritize right now that they're not doing, what would it be?
So in the book, I have, and I don't know if this is a visual or not, but we can share this offline, Boris.
Yeah, I've created some of them will be seen, yeah. But we can do a show notes to link to your...
Absolutely. No, we're happy to share this. But one of the things I did was sort of organize risks into a little... pyramid to help people think about not one risk being more important than another, but more of a kind of a sequencing as you think about, you know, a checklist in your own mind, where if you're new to role as a senior risk manager or CRO, you know, how can you make sure that you've covered everything and that you've had thoughtful discussions with your board, with your executive committee and so on. And so I start at the very top of the pyramid with strategic risk. So the risk that the strategy of the organization is either poorly designed or not properly executed. Because if that's wrong, frankly, all of the other efforts will be undermined from day one. And then I move into people risk. So thinking about people, conduct, culture, all of those areas. Because again, if your people are not behind you, then you've also got a big problem. Next on the list for me is technology. So thinking about, you know, the traditional technical risks, CIA and so on, but also cyber and data privacy. Then I talk about the financial risks, because they haven't gone away. And my goodness, at the moment, we're in some cases, a 1 in 400 year event for some financial risk metrics. So capital and liquidity, counterparty risk, market risk, which is the huge one at the moment, and financial reporting. And then finally, I take about 10 of the most commonly observed operational risks, and I go through each of those. And again, people have said to me, oh, well, does that mean that credit risk is less important than people? No, you can't kind of disregard, but it just, for me, seemed like a very logical way to think through. And it's a framework that you can use either internally or externally to benchmark yourself or to challenge yourself and your team.
Mm. All right. So where do you think that risk management as a whole is heading? What are the trends in the industry, and what should we expect from you in the future? What maybe another book, or what are your plans?
So In terms of, I talk about, you know, some of the emerging issues and emerging challenges that we face. One area, of course, that's going to be huge for us is the use of models and model risk and model governance. So I talk about that, you know, if you are using AI or machine learning to inform decisions or to decide whether or not to onboard a customer or to lend to them or at what level, how you can be sure that the model is giving you good intel, but also how you can demonstrate that crucially to regulators and third parties when essentially what you have is something of a black box. So I talk a bit about that. But more generally, I talk about, I think we're still quite linear sometimes in our assessment of risk. We still worry about one area versus another. And I would love to see us become more multi-layered, more multidimensional, more sort of intelligent and holistic in how we think about risk. And, you know, if you've been around long enough, you know, we've all seen an example of where, you know, maybe a slight system weakness in one place followed, you know, when mixed with a staffing shortage somewhere else, when mixed with a, you know, something going on in the public domain, where things can come together and all of a sudden create a problem that's much bigger than the sum of the parts. So I still think we have more work to do there to be more holistic and rounded. And I think also more standardization of risk, so that we can bench and compare ourselves in terms of the strength of our controls versus others, and then take those insights to our boards, to our excos, and drive improvements along the way.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there, if you have some actionable tips on preventing businesses from cyber attacks, keeping the employees safe, or whatever you can tell, it would be great.
Gosh, I wish I had the magical formula. And, you know, as we've seen from, you know, from events in the past year or so, we can never be complacent. And obviously we find ourselves, you know, at an interesting time in the world at the moment, you know, with political risk and energy risk and everything else. So I'm afraid I don't have a silver bullet, Boris, but I think just not being complacent, being alert to those sort of black swan events, mm-hmm. staying curious. Towards the end of the book, I talk about how you can build the team around you with a diversity of skills and backgrounds, and how you can leverage technology so that you, as a CRO, can stay open to mm-hmm. what the next issue is, that you've got time to think and time to consider. You know, you need to offload a lot of that day-to-day management so that you have that time to scan and to think and to do that what-if analysis along the way. That's maybe the most crucial role of the CRO of all.
All right. So if we summarize it, if someone who is listening to this episode interview would like to walk away with one or two major takeaways, what would it be?
Stand back. Look around you, use a checklist. It can be mine, it can be somebody else's, but you know, use a checklist to prompt you to think about those things on the periphery of your vision right now. Ask your people and your senior people, but your people on the front line as well, about what they worry about, and just see what that throws up. And look around you in both in your industry and in adjacent and other industries for examples of risks, but also examples of really good practice, so that you stay fresh and you stay curious about what might be coming down the track.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So I ask this question all of my guests because I'm running a global risk community. We are an online community for risk and compliance managers. So how, from your opinion, we can contribute better to understand this complex world of risk? Just for us.
I think I'm going to come back to the point about we have to be there as much for the success of our organization and the world and humanity as anybody else. I think the point on sustainability is maybe the one. People don't necessarily put risk and sustainability together, but it is the most fundamental of the risks that we face. If our mission, if our product or service is not sustainable, is not aligned with the direction the world needs to go, if we're not lining up our supply chains and if we're not managing our people in the right way from a sustainability standpoint, that is going to come home to roost now. But you know, the great thing about that is as risk managers, we get to maybe spread our wings a little bit, right? And deploy the skill sets that we have, that we've built up over the past 20, 30 years and use them for good and use them towards environmental and social governance. So that is the challenge and the opportunity of our time as risk managers.
Fantastic. This were all my questions. Perhaps if I forgot something, you can add something, or your opinion, or where people can find this book or whatever.
Yeah, no, well, I just want to say, first of all, Boris, thank you for your podcast and for your community. It is so important as risk professionals that we have a place to go to bounce ideas off, to get and to hear about new things. And your podcast and your community does so much for that. And yes, a shameless plug for the book, How to Be a Chief Risk Officer, is in the Amazon bookstore in both paperback and Kindle. And I would love if your community found it useful.
Absolutely. All right, Jennifer, thank you for coming to us and sharing your thoughts. And I believe we can come back to you and maybe in a few months discuss some specific topic more in details.
I would love that. Pleasure speaking to you today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you like this episode, please give it 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. It will help us in spreading the word. Don't forget to subscribe to receive your notifications of future episodes straight to your phone. If you'd like to be connected with your peers, risk managers, and compliance executives from all over the world, make sure to go to our main site at www.globalriskcommunity.com and click on the sign up button to join in. There are some incredible conversations happening inside the community. If you work in a fast-growing company operating in the risk management space and your job is to acquire new customers, generate thought leadership and awareness about your products and services, consider to become our partner. Here is the concept. Global Risk Community is looking to work with a limited number of innovative risk management companies interested in a new partnership model. What do I mean by that? We will put you in front of our engaging community of more than 100,000 subscribers by using our multi-channel approach, such as website, email, events, online business, social communities, video, and podcast, to name a few. You generate leads, awareness, and advocacy. Everybody wins. Interested? Send your request to info@globalriskconsult.com. Last but not least, if you or someone you know will be an incredible guest on our show, email us at info@globalriskconsult.com and let us know. We love connecting with risk and compliance executives, and we love sharing your perspectives and expertise. See you in the next episode.